Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 283. Awards are done. Reviews are done for us. Now we review positions for the 2025 fantasy baseball season, because before you know it, it'll be 2026 preview time over here at Bubba and the Bloom. But we'll get you started off with the catching position in 2025, which each and every year gets better and better, it feels like, since we did this show. So we'll get you caught up there and much, much more. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
Good, man. I'm pretty amped for the show, but not quite as much as you, for sure, with catchers. You literally said I was born for this as we went live. So you are ready to go for tonight. Yes, review season is upon us. We will hit pretty much every position, probably do outfield a couple times, pitchers a couple times, sprinkle in some other stuff throughout the next month or two, but that'll be on the thing. Things are also very busy for me. Baseball forecasters starting. The boxes are out. I'm doing a fab research, fab article for that. Tons of really baseball cool actually on TV, which is cool. I think the day this episode drops on Wednesday, there are 4 DS games. Yep. Get your Bubba and the Bloom in the morning, and then 4 games. That's a Wednesday.
I believe it's the last time this year we'll have 4 games on the same day, if I do the math properly, because we travel probably games for, yeah, so it should be it for the final hurrah of full day binging baseball action along the way. So hey, Ryan's busy with the HQ and the Patreon. He's dropping some cool nuggets in there. I just dropped something in there today. So we're going to continue that coming down the pipe along with these episodes the entire off season. So don't go away. Come join the fun, more importantly.
Honestly, it's been fun chat. Like, the live games channel in the Discord, which is part of the Patreon, has been just as active as the regular season. Actually, kind of a little bit like certain people in Discord, obviously, if they're fans of teams, you know, you get the venting, but not as much venting about like bad fantasy performances, of course, in the postseason. So that's been great. Your article today gave you a Bloom board, and you went with it, posted that. That was awesome. I did a tutorial last week on how to actually do postmortems for your teams on the NFBC, some of the kind of the hidden screens and whatnot, how to do that. And then I also posted all of the percent category targets based on the overall standings for all the different NFBC type formats in 2025. So as we've said many times before, we're not slowing down. This is our busy time. If you want to support us, support the show. There's a Patreon QR code on our new little graphics package here, but patreon.com/BubbaBloom. We would certainly appreciate it. And as we always say too, make it worth your while in terms of content, tools, and tutorial videos and that sort of thing. So check us out if you like the show. You get more of us, which I guess is a good thing if you like the show.
Apparently some people do. We'll see. We appreciate that. But enough of that. Let's get to what everyone's here for. Best position in baseball. Didn't say fantasy baseball. I said baseball. Let me clarify that. No, I'm just biased because catchers matter, folks. Hashtag catchers matter. And they continue to get better and better each and every season, it seems like, since we started doing this show. It's much, much deeper than it once was. So we'll do the 2025 catcher review. We'll go over some of the top that we have the boards of the top 30 drafted NFBC players, and then much, much more. This will be the standard format for the people that listen to the past. We've always done this. If you haven't, going forward with every position, pretty much going to be in line with what we do tonight. So if you have any questions for us, let us know. But before we get started, Bloom, what are we looking at here when it comes to all these awesome numbers, colors, and just amazing catchers?
Yeah, so let me just run down the format of this thing, because like you said, this will be the format going forward for all the different positions. If you are watching on YouTube, first, if you want to like and subscribe, we would greatly appreciate that. Subscribing to the channel helps us out. But if you're watching on YouTube, we've got the board up here. It is the top 30 catchers by preseason ADP. So it's ordered by preseason ADP. We will talk about a few, actually more than a few catchers, foreshadowing there, that were not drafted in the top 30 that placed rather well. We'll talk about those guys at the end. But this board is ordered by preseason ADP. It has their preseason ADP, their rank at catcher, their position rank by ADP, and then how they finished as well per the Fangraphs player rater. So we get a quick kind of comparison of where they were drafted versus how they finished at the position. And then no true Bloom board would be complete without our Oregon Duck green and rare steak red color-coded stats. We've got batting average, home runs, and stolen bases up here color-coded so that you could see how each player did. I don't know. Do you want to talk about individual players? Larger takeaways before that?
Larger takeaways first, then we'll go kind of pocket by. Well, we usually hit on all 30 players, give or take, at least the top 15 for sure. But one thing I love about these boards is, A, we can just see the colors and see who dominated, for one. Like, you see Cal Raleigh with 60 dongs. But more importantly, he's the only catcher with double-digit steals as well. So it goes back to a conversation we'll have on the preview show that we've had on every other preview show for catchers, is why do certain catchers get elevated at the position? Because they steal bases helps a ton. That used to be the JTR model. So Cal Raleigh, who will be the unanimous number, well, should be the unanimous number one for 2026. He stands out obviously on this board, but other than that, for a loaded position, just a generic takeaway, a lot of red on this board, to be honest with you, because I think most of the standouts didn't get drafted at the top 30.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. The point about the stolen bases is totally on point. I think JTR and Ivan Herrera, outside of Cal Raleigh, were the highest stolen base catcher guys. Maybe Agustin Ramirez, maybe the Goose had more. But
yeah, the Goose is double digits.
But yeah, stolen catcher. Hey, newsflash: catcher is not a place to get your speed. Yes. I don't even know how Cal Raleigh stole 14. That's not quite as impressive as 60 home runs, but it's just as weird. Yeah. I guess another kind of interesting takeaway for me is you could again, this is all looking back, we're going to try and kind of avoid the 2026 looking forward type thing, but you could have gotten pretty good batting averages throughout the draft from catcher this season. So, you know, of course my guy Will Smith is, you know, leading the pack there with a 296 batting average, but you had a ton of guys above 250. You got I'll run down the ADP list. William Contreras, Yonder Diaz, Wilson Contreras, all above 250. Shea Langeliers at ADP 115. He hit 277. Gabriel Moreno, Ivan Herrera hit 284. Ryan Jeffers hit 266. That was ADP at 238. You had Alejandro Kirk, you had Hunter Goodman, both around 280. Miguel Amaya was 280 in somewhat limited action. And then the late Drake Baldwin. So you could, and Ben Rice there, 255. You could have actually done pretty well for yourself at batting average for catcher, which I think is a little bit different than in previous seasons, where once you got later down in the pool for catchers, it was like, hit me 15, 20 home runs, but it's going to cost me in batting average. You're going to hit like 200. That was a little bit for me different this year with catchers.
100%. It's a combination of the league-wide batting average continues to drop, so they come into the bucket now is what it comes down to. But also, to your point, it used to be a lot of, especially as the draft went on, you got your Jonah Heim hitting 213, Patrick Bailey 222, Danny Jansen. That was a common thing. Like, you saw a lot of the dudes down there. You'd hope Danny Jansen gets me 20 home runs. That's why you took him later as your catcher too. Whereas now you can definitely get the boost, as you were saying. And so much so that you can still punt the catching position, but it's like, you look at this top 15 we'll talk about, some of those averages, 280 and above, are just elite for most positions, let alone catcher. Like, if you could pair those up and go forward. When we talk top 15, we're still talking most of them are outside the top 100 picks overall. Yeah. So it's not like you had to go super early in that regard. We'll discuss those as we go on. But great call on the batting average, because that is definitely something that does not factor into most catchers, to be honest. It's usually more of a, hey, can we sneak in some power guys? And there were plenty of 20-plus home run guys, a lot of like 15-ish plus home run guys. So you definitely got your power output. And if they were able to, you know, snipe you a few bags or hit for average, you got a massive boost when this was all said and done.
Yep. Yep. I'm gonna botch this pronunciation. Preserbius says in the chat, great year for catchers and just getting better. Like, Michael C's in here. He started ranking them for 2026. He says it's loaded. I don't know, man. I feel like you caught fire. You rode the wave at the right time to be the quote unquote catcher guy, because it does feel like this position, which used to be truly horrendous, has gotten much, much better, and kind of incrementally so each of the last 2-3 seasons.
And to be fair with them riding my wave on this is the reason I started doing catchers is because I was the odd man out with the black book.
Because no one else wanted to.
When you're the rookie, you get the catching position because it was so bad. And now it's like, I just get it because it's mine now. No one gets a chance to get the catching positions. Like, you get second base now, Rook. Stuff like that. Because I thoroughly enjoy it. It's actually challenging to put them into certain pockets that I have to put them in for that situation. So, really good position because, again, we'll get through here, but we have 30 catchers on this board, at least almost 20 of them I still would be cool with for next year. And there's like four or five that aren't even on this board that are in play, that are playing close to top 15, actually, when all things are said and done. So a lot of options at the catching position. Keep your questions coming in the chat. Some of them we'll get to later when it's more of fitting for what's going on. But yeah, I agree as well. But let's get to some player breakdowns on this one. We'll start at the top with the King. King William Contreras was the first catcher off the board, ADP at 26. Still finished the season fourth, which is mighty impressive, all things considered. Hit 260, 17 homers, 6 steals. Basically had a broken appendage. I can't remember which finger it was. But he had a broken finger pretty much all season that he played through. And if you look at his numbers, still outstanding. Obviously hampered his power, but overall still an absolute monster. Still had 659 plate appearances. There's a reason I still took him early in the meatball draft. I could let him get healthy, and he actually seemed like he got healthier after the All-Star break, just that like things got better. So I'm back on William being again Cal Raleigh. That's a discussion we'll have in like 6 weeks, four weeks from now, and like I'm not gonna tell anybody no, but King Williams to me still deserves his place on the throne.
Agreed. And for as bad as it started with William Contreras, like there were, you had buyer's remorse at an ADP of 26, given what William Contreras did not do for you in the first half. To see William Contreras finish fourth at the end of the season, it's like that turned out to be a pick that not even like didn't hurt you, but like honestly wasn't even that bad of a pick. Like, yeah, you'd want a little bit better from a top 30 pick, but William Contreras certainly rebounded. And I think the story of 2025 for William Contreras is the injury. How hurt was he in the first half? How healthy was he in the second half? Per Baseball HQ's first half, second half splits, it was a 277 batting average, 11 homers for William Contreras in the second half, 48 runs, 42 RBI. Like that's what you actually expected William Contreras to do. And he snapped right back to that guy in the second half. So the only thing William Contreras did not do in the second half is run. Only had one steal in the second half to get that total of 6, which is down from 3 from last season, but that's somewhat nitpicking. If we get that second half William Contreras, along with what we saw from him in 2024, this is still a primo catcher.
Yep, primo catcher, zero concerns going forward as long as that hand gets healed. But it's the constant problem with any catcher. You could love them as much as you want. They get hurt more than anybody. So it was a random injury, like a random situation, just being a catcher, broke his hand finger. That's life. Look at JTR the last couple of years. It's those fluky injuries. Like, that's going to happen more often than it won't. So that's why. But even with all that, the last thing I'll mention on William, second most played appearances to Cal Raleigh. So like, even with the injury, the dude did like just stubborn catcher through and through. All right, the next one off the board, a guy that I faded full-heartedly last season, ADP 66. I told so many people, do not take him as the second catcher off the board. Finished 37th at the position, came back for the last week of the season. He was injured. That's Adley Rutschman, hit 220, 9 homers, 0 steals. Ryan, I'll give you the floor since you were a guy that was at least interested in Adley Rutschman last season. You might have more of a feeling on this because for me it's more like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should listen to you more, at least for this position. Maybe not in general, but maybe at least for this position. You totally nailed this fade. I think going into 2025, the thing with Adley Rutschman was he was really good first half of 24 and completely fell apart in the second half of 24. And it was, was it similar to William Contreras? I think he got a foul tip off his hand or something. And then later on, what's that?
He got hit by a pitch.
Hit by a pitch. That's right. And then later on in the offseason or whatever, entering 25, was Adley Rutschman was like, yeah, I was just tired entering the second half. And so it's just like, which version of Adley would we see? And we obviously saw the former. This was a sheer disaster of a season for for Adley. Interestingly enough, oh God,
it'll be good.
Same exact barrel rate and basically the same exact strikeout rate as what we saw in 2023 from Adley Rutschman, which was his good season. He had 277 at 20 homers, but 687 plate appearances. So it's actually interesting. If you look at the strikeout rate, the barrel rate for Adley, it was the same as 23. But man, I don't know. It's 2 years like this. It's tough to view him as a top guy going forward.
You know what he did more of in 2025, though? Hit the ball on the ground. The same as 2023, ironically. But it jumped from 2024. So, yes, his 2023 numbers did mimic a lot of 2025, to your point. But the home run to fly ball dropped like 3.5% from 2023. So when he was hitting the ball in the air and hitting it, it wasn't, I'm guessing, just top of my head, wasn't pulled, probably, is what took place there. But other than that, yeah, you look at his, now that you mentioned looking at 2023 to 2025, throughout almost even his plate discipline metrics, it's almost identical. That is hilarious.
It's crazy. BABIP was super low this year. I mean, that kind of, he lost 60 points to BABIP. That's why Adley Rutschman only hit 220. So, dude, not only am I not listening to you again, I'm talking myself in.
They have Samuel Basayo. They're trying to trade Adley Rutschman. Like, if he gets it done, kudos. There's so many other options, Ryan. We just talked about this being the deepest the position's been. What are you doing? Again, this isn't even the preview show. I'll lecture you then.
I'm getting them fired up, people. This is excellent. It used to be Bob Melvin, then it was Ben Verlander, and now I'm just going to – it's Adley Rutschman.
No, the thing is, I'm not fired up with Adley Rutschman. I'm fired up that you still aren't listening. Kidding. Let's head to the next one here before this gets out of hand.
Yeah.
Yainer Diaz, similar to King William, struggled immensely early in the season. He's the third catcher off the board, ADP at 67. One pick after Adley Rutschman, how one pick can make a difference. Something we highlight a lot, Ryan, in those pockets that we discuss. This was a big one here when it came to catching. He finished 13th in the position, still not what you wanted, but 256, 20 homers, one steal. You'll take, Ryan, when all things are said and done. It was definitely like batting average is a massive drop off from the last two seasons. You can credit BABIP if you'd like in that one too. But what were your thoughts here with Yainer Diaz before I give my kind of optimistic view here?
I think Yainer had actually a decent. I'm surprised this stat line was only 13th at catcher. That probably speaks to the depth of the position, right? Like, I mean, 256 batting average is good. 20 homers is good. 70 RBI with Houston, that's good. I think honestly, not a bad. I wouldn't say a fine season because of where you drafted Yainer Diaz, but certainly better than Adley. The kind of the bummer is Wilson Contreras and Salvi Perez and obviously Cal Raleigh, Will Smith. Like the next five guys in ADP at catcher all outperformed Yainer Diaz. But again, I think that more speaks to the depth of position than any kind of fade on Yainer.
Yeah, and like I said, he had the slow start, so it really soured people. He had a slow start and 2024 also, but it wasn't as bad as this. If you look at his first half, second half splits, 84 games in the first half, 321 at-bats, 339 plate appearances. He hit 246 with 13 home runs and 38 RBIs. In 59 games, 228 plate appearances, 111 fewer plate appearances. He hit 271, 7 home runs, 32 RBIs, almost matched his RBI total. So what I'm trying to say is he picked it up in a big, big way in the second half, just a smaller sample because the second half is smaller. But he's done this in two straight seasons. So if he does it a third straight, then I might get frustrated with him. But he showcased the really good skills once again. We just need to find a way to tap into those sooner with Yainer. But let's also remember that entire Astros team struggled for like a month and a half to 2 months at one point. They all just couldn't hit the baseball, and they started turning it on towards the end. So I'm still fine with Yainer. I'm still in on Yainer. Where do I have him ranked coming in 2026? Time will tell. Probably not this early anymore. But, I'm good with what you got out of him. To your point, the next five guys just smoked him is what it came down to.
Yeah.
King William's older brother, maybe his Tyrion Lannister of the crew, Wilson Contreras. You don't watch Game of Thrones, I can tell already. Okay. Wilson Contreras, fourth catcher off the board, ADP is 73, six picks after Yainer, seven picks after the bust of Adley Rutschman. Wilson Contreras finished fifth at the position, hitting .257, 20 homers, 5 stolen bases, basically almost identical to Yiner's stat line, except for the steals. Really good season, played first base all season, so you're not going to see him on this list next year, Ryan. You won't even see him on this list for the preview show for 2026, unfortunately. Yeah. But what's your thoughts on Wilson Contreras in his last season at the catching position?
I mean, this is just what Wilson Contreras does. This is what you paid. Well, you probably, there was an ADP bump because you were getting non-catcher playing time from a catcher qualified player, which I agreed with for sure. So while you could say, this was a typical Wilson Contreras season, I think people who drafted Wilson Contreras, I was among them, were hoping for something a little bit better because he wasn't catching, but still, you can't argue with what we got here from Wilson. And yeah, RIP to his catcher eligibility, because I at 34 years old, I believe he will be next season. Wilson Contreras will hopefully, for the Cardinals' sake, not be catching ever again.
No, and it's a bummer because, to your point, we all loved him for the first. He's going to play every day, but still have catcher eligibility. Injuries derailed him to 135 games, 563 plate appearances.
Yep.
Still the most plate appearances he's had in his entire career. That is a plus. But when you look at the other catchers at the position, he still had Raleigh, his brother, Salvi, Goose, even out, produced him in plate appearances. Goodman, Yiner, JTR, Rice, Langeliers, so on and so forth. The list goes on and on and on. Diaz, Goodman, Ramirez, Perez, Contreras, Raleigh. I was joking. So like 6 guys still outproduced him in plate appearances on the season. A lot of those went after him, but we, like, to your point, we expected much more based on the eligibility. Yeah. Your boy Salvi continues to do Salvi things. It's impressive. ADP, he's the 5th off the board, 81, 7th at the position, overall finished 7th at the position, hit .236, which was a bummer. Another 30 home run season, Ryan. Another 30 home run season. Always waiting for that other shoe to drop. It has not just yet. What are your thoughts on your boy Salvi?
And another 600 plus plate appearance season, right? It was 92 games at catcher, almost carbon copy of the previous season. 30 games at first base, 38 at DH. Sneakily useful. I know my mind is in draft and hold. Sneakily useful at catcher, first base. You may use some Salvador Perez at corner at some point. I certainly did, actually, in a couple of leagues this past season with Salvi. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to describe.
Another 100 RBIs.
Yeah, 100 RBI, 30 RBI. Like, I don't know. Yeah, you can qualm and say Salvi hit .236, but like, power numbers have not skipped a beat. He makes plenty of contact. Like, Babbitt was really low. It's typically low. I mean, the dude is older than dirt, but
it was way lower than usual. It's like 40 to 50 points lower.
So like, I mean, just an awesome season from one of the most durable guys out there. And this is what you paid for. And you got what you paid for.
Yeah. It's just crazy to look at the plate appearances. Dude's 35. It just continues to play. It's the second worst batting average of his career, but you mentioned the BABIP dropped tremendously. 30 home runs for the first time actually since 2021, but it's been 20 plus home runs every year, not counting COVID, since 2015. Like, he's got 80 RBIs every season since 2017. That's pretty freaking reliable. And I don't know when it's going to stop, because like I said, 35, he's a catcher. But he had a 14.7% barrel rate, second best of his career.
I know,
dude. He didn't fall off the map. He had the best max exit velocity of his entire career this last year. If you believe in X stats, his XBA was 279. That's a 43-point jump. And I've said before, like, I don't think they're the end-all be-all, but when you see gaps like that, something's missing.
Agreed. That type of outlier with the expected stat versus the actual stat, agreed.
Yeah, so... like, it's just insane to think about a 35-year-old that doesn't spend all day catching, which obviously helps with the age situation. I was kind of off of him last year thinking, okay, for Means back there, he's traded, but they have their youngster that they brought up that you were like, this guy exists. He's a real player. He was util only towards the end of the year. Jensen.
That doesn't narrow it down.
Yeah. It's Jensen.
Yeah, Carter Jensen.
Yes, he's there, and he should be getting more reps at catcher down the stretch. He still had VDP at first. So is it DH time for, as long as he's going to be playing positions besides catcher, I might have to be back in again. Like, it's crazy to say out loud. He's been that darn good. So kudos to Salvi. All right, you being the Mariners fan, I'm giving you the big dumper. ADP of 96, sixth catcher off the board, first by far at the position. I believe he was first overall. Did he beat out Judge? I can't remember now. Hit 247, 60 homers, 14 steals. Hit a 61st home run on Tuesday night. Impressive. It's the best, just insane.
Yeah, it looks like, according to the Fangraphs player rater, Carrolli was second behind Aaron Judge in fantasy value, accounting for catchers as well. But no, man, I mean, I don't have really, like, I mean, I could actually go on for quite a bit at just how cool this season has been to watch Carrolli, who just looks like an everyday you and me out there and is hitting 60 home runs. 14 steals is just bonkers to me. I love the man. I love the man who caught Carrolli's 61st home run of the season this evening.
Amazing.
Dump 61 here, and he actually caught Carrolli's home run in game three of the ALDS. So no, I don't have anything to, I mean, this is a league winning pick. It's something that no one ever expected. I only had one Carrolli on all my teams, which sucks, but it was just really cool to pretty magical season as a fan to watch this and see what he did. Just it's really good stuff.
Yep, agreed. Absolutely impressive, insane. I don't know where else to put it that he did. Your boy Will Smith, ADP of 115, seventh catcher off the board, finished ninth in the position at 296, 17 homers, two steals. The 296 average is why he finished ninth at the position, because otherwise he is average at best. played in 110 games, 436 plate appearances, Ryan. Like, I'm really trying to be nice here, but 436 plate appearances makes him ninth, if you count Wilson, 19th at the catching position in plate appearances this year. That ain't going to cut it with an ADP of 115. If he does not hit 296, this is a L, my friend. But he did.
But he
so
did.
You get it.
But he hit.
But he did. But he did. So you get it. But
finished as a top 10 catcher with only 436 plate appearances. So what did you do with those other 200? Did you get a Dylan Dingler?
You didn't drop Will Smith. You had to get it zero.
Did you get a Jansen Carter, whatever his name is? Did you, you know, did
no,
you
he was
do all
Utah
that?
Only spells? No.
No. Yeah,
you didn't
no,
do anything.
That's a different discussion. That's true. That's no, man. Great season. I mean, good season. I won't say great season. I don't want to get you heated, but
look at that
season
batted for bike. Look at that. Jump back in on him next year. I dare you.
Dude, if you want to talk, come on.
Let's do it.
So for whatever Will Smith quote unquote overachieved in batting average, he underachieved in power. So I don't think you can play the luck card at all with Will Smith. He had 34 barrels, just 17 home runs, career high barrel rate outside of the COVID season, only 17 home runs to show for it. And
that's
again,
like that's a 50% home run of barrels. That's not that far underachieving.
But again, if he just had the plate appearance thing, if he had the 540 that Will Smith has had each of the previous three seasons, that's over 20 home runs. Like, that dude, he's good, man. And then you hit 290 in that lineup. Let's go. I can't believe you're shading a top 10 catcher. It's unreal.
Oh, I am, because he's a Dodger. And B, it's like, okay, he's going to be 31 next year. The guy continually gets hurt. He hasn't played over 130 games since 2022. Still have Dalton rushing.
Dude, rest him. Four straight seasons, 500 plus plate appearances. Will Smith.
Yep. And he's the opposite of like a Yainer Diaz, where this guy falls apart in the second half at 237 in the second half with only five home runs compared to 323 in the first half. So I'm just saying, like,
yeah, not good for your second half only leagues, you know.
If you're in a head to head format, crushed you. So just throwing that one out there. Yes, Will Smith was good. I still don't like the guy for fantasy. I probably never will.
We know.
It's okay. Shea Bengaliers, eighth catcher off the board with an ADP of 115 as well to Will Smith. Played much better than Will Smith. Finished third at the position. 277 batting average, 31 dongs, 7 stolen bases. I actually wrote about Shea Bengaliers in that article at the Patreon that dropped today. So I'll let you have the floor first, since I dug in on Bengaliers. What do you see in here? Because this was a massive increase in the strikeout or the batting average department.
Yeah, and the massive increase in the batting average department was supported by The strikeout rate for Langoliers, it was up in the high 20s, which is pretty high. Your league average strikeout rate's around 22-23%. That dropped to 19% for Shea Langoliers in 2025. And better yet, like, still had 42 barrels and hit 42 barrels in one of the best parks, if not the best park for home runs in baseball, a park that Langoliers will be in again next season. So you can't kind of strike that against him. Prime age 27, will be 28 next year. Like, very impressive step forward for Shane Langoliers.
Yep, very impressive step forward. It just comes down to, do you believe in the increase in the strikeout rate? Because it's crazy when I dug in on him, because the BABIP jumped like 40 points, but he also correlates probably to the fewer strikeouts, more balls in play. Just do the math. When you hit the ball that hard, that's going to work for, maybe it shouldn't jump that much, but it kind of makes sense in a weird way. Mm-hmm. But like, digging in on him, like, this batted ball profile, his plate discipline profile, identical to previous seasons. Just literally, he didn't strike out as much, which even his barrel rate was down from the past two seasons. Still 11%, still great, not knocking it, but it's down technically from the last two seasons. He was still very good, very, very good. It's like, do you just believe in the improvements in the plate skills is all it is. Right. And what it reminds me of so much is one of his old teammates, and Matt Olson, who had a breakout season where he stopped striking out with the A's. Obviously different ballpark, but he had that like MVP season, gets him traded to Atlanta, and it's been a roller coaster. He's been good, but it hasn't, like, I don't think we've seen that type of season since then from Matt Olson, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yes.
So
no,
so
it's a re- you, it's
yes. That's it's, where it's, my thought, my head went right away.
It's a really good point that, and getting off track a little bit, but like, an 8% improvement in strikeout rate, while really good and impressive, probably not going to hold again for 2026. So you just mentioned the Matt Olson example. Ronald Acuna, I remember a few years ago, had some crazy good improvement in strikeout rate, gave it all back the next season. So, you know, who knows? We'll talk about Langoliers for 26 in the preview shows. But at least for 2025, like, this was outstanding. This was really damn good.
It was awesome. The ballpark, like you said, he'll be there next year, so don't worry about it. And honestly, yep, they're going to be playing in Vegas eventually, and I don't care if you build a dome in Vegas. It'll be like Arizona unless they have a humidor. So he's going to be just fine. Here's a tilting one. Logan Ohapi, ninth catcher off the board, finished 28th at the position, hit .213, 19 homers, 2 steals. Back-to-back seasons now where expectations were high, and he had his moments where things went really well. But injuries have kind of derailed things. He played through one in 2024 for a bit. This last year, he did not. Only played in 119 games. And I'm getting concerned about my love for Logan Ohapi. Still very young, though, 25 years old. So there could be room for improvement, but that strikeout rate continues to get worse, and I don't like seeing that at all.
Right, yeah. And it's like a 30% K rate for Ohapi. So that, I mean, he pretty much did deserve the .213. Yeah. Batting average, and so that is absolutely an issue. I mean, the bright side is the power looks legit. Like, the 19 homers, that could have even been more. 38 barrels on 19 homers. It hits a hard hit ball pretty much half the time he hits it, so the power is still there. So I don't know if I'm that worried about the injuries with Ohapi, as long as the power is there. But
I guess it means, like, what's his ADP? Again, different discussion, but I can't take him at 145, I think, like, no, we did in 2025.
He won't go at 145 either, but I just think Ohapi's developing into your what I thought was a prototypical catcher until I'm looking at this board for 2025. You're kind of prototypical low batting average, but it's going to get you some pop catcher, and I think that's fine. It's just build around that batting average, because I don't see it getting maybe a little bit better than .213. I mean, Ohapi hit .236 and .244 the 2 years prior, but I feel like that's a ceiling right now for Logan Ohapi, and that's a pretty low ceiling for batting average.
Like, it's weird, because, like, I'm with you. I've always believed in the power with him, and it's like, kind of injuries have ruined the last 2 years. It's always the what if game with any player, especially catchers. It's like, why couldn't Ohapi be like a Salvi, where he gets .230 and hits 30 home runs? Like, I believe he's got that skill set in him. He just has to play that much, and I don't know if he ever will is the problem. Especially with Travis d'Arnaud in town, that doesn't help the situation. The 10th catcher off the board, finished 16th at the position. JT Realmuto hit .257, 12 homers, 8 stolen bases. We returned to JTR playing 134 games after an injury riddled 2024. So that brings him 4 of his last 5 seasons of 134 or more. Problem is, Ryan, the power is gone. It feels like speed's even diminished. The batting average is about the same, but it feels like age and just being banged up is catching up with JTR.
Right. This was we debated JTR a ton. I was pretty high on JTR at the price and you were a little bit cooler. We were curious whether the stolen bases would come back for JTR, right? 34-year-old season, had 2 stolen bases the entirety of 2024. Knee issues kind of, you know, contributed to that, but it was like, you know, is he going to, you know, are knee issues going to go away when you turn 35 and you're a catcher? Looking back, if you would have told me JTR stole 8 bases and that's the only thing you told me preseason, I'd be all over his 148 ADP. And JTR did not deliver, like you said, in the power category. 12 homers and 550 plate appearances is very tough to stomach. And lowest barrel rate since pretty much 2017 at 8.8%. Not great, not anemic, but not great. I don't know. Like, turned out to be the number 16 catcher, so it wasn't a disaster pick, but the stolen base rebound buoyed that quite a bit. I'm worried this is a profile that is not aging well, just like you are. And aging well, but like you said about JTR. I'm not going to be that mean.
I got you.
That came out wrong.
They both work. They both work. Trust me. I was side note. This is what we do. I don't know if you saw it, but for the Cubs game on Monday, Justin Turner was wearing this Everything Hurts.
Yeah, shirt. I saw that. Yeah.
I need to order that right now. I need that shirt. And just like, especially like every golf trip I go on from now on, when I wake up the next morning and I go downstairs with where all the guys are hanging out, like I need that shirt on. Like,
you know, we didn't come up with like a show. We did all this graphics redesign stuff. We didn't come up with like a slogan. It could be it.
Everything Hurts. Yeah. Or I Age Poorly. Well, they both work. All right. Let's go to the 11th catcher off the board. Finished 15th at the position 1, Austin Wells. Hit 219, 21 homers, 5 steals. Similar to Logan Ohapi, stat line almost identical. A little more speed from Wells. I think there was higher expectations for Wells, similar to Ohapi. So just kind of after we talked about Ohapi, and then I looked at Wells's stat line, a lot of similarities. The one thing I will point out is it feels like Wells just was a complete dump this season. Like, everyone was hating on Wells. Yeah, but again, you look at that final stat line, 219, not great, but 21 homers, 5 steals a catcher, finished 15th, not horrible.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, Austin Wells gave me the ability to take a shot of Fireball on opening day early on, which was great. We have a local home league tradition where when your fantasy player, your first player to hit a home run, you get to take a shot of Fireball. And Wells, I think, hit the first homer of the season.
Pretty sure he did, because it was
so I was first.
A lot of catchers matter tweets my direction. It was great.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with really Austin Wells at all, but a good story for me. Agreed. For all the shade that Austin Wells got, like a 220 batting average, 21 homers really isn't that bad. I wonder and kind of worry about playing time going forward. But in general, if you kind of take that, you know, that step back, that review, which is kind of what we're doing here, you paid 11th catcher price and got 15th catcher value for him. Like, that's, you know, not ideal, but it's not that bad. Yeah, 219 batting average is rough. I don't know if that gets much better. He had 229 the year before. Strikeouts ticked up quite a bit. So that's not great, but I don't know. Overall, just like a meh second catcher season for Austin Wells.
Yeah, it just feels like where he's going to be locked in. He's a second catcher that hopefully gets you back in catcher one production is kind of what you're hoping for with Austin Wells. Gabriel Moreno, ADP 181, 12th off the board, finished 20th at the position thanks to a 285 average because it was 9 homers, 2 steals in 83 games. He's never played more than 111 games in his career. He's only played over 100 games once. Small career, he's 25, but injuries have derailed him in the back-to-back seasons, in 3 out of 4 seasons essentially with Gabby Moreno. But the batting average is always the consistent part here, but the rest of it, yep. I think it's still like, I wouldn't say incomplete. We don't know who Gabby really is for a full season outside of injuries.
Right. And at what point do you factor that in, though, to your kind of eval for Gabriel Moreno? No. Are you comfortable taking, probably not paying a catcher one price next year, but are you comfortable taking someone who's never had 400 plate appearances in a season in the majors? Like that no. comes into play. But honestly, on a per plate appearance basis for Gabriel Moreno, what I wanted to see was, we kind of know that the good batting average is locked in. Is it going to be like four homers in a season? Like, is it going to be an actual zero in the power department, or are we seeing growth? And yeah, 9 homers and 309 plate appearances for Moreno is a nice step forward. Career high barrel rate at 16 barrels to show for those 9 homers, 7% barrel rate. If he can just hold that level of power for next season, hit 280 again, like that's actually pretty good catcher. Just got to stay on the field.
Yeah, I'm slightly interested. I think I even went for him in Fab when he came back from the IL, just because I was like, okay, I could suffer. Like, I can play the game now with Gabby. I couldn't play with his ADP, but on the Fab world, I'm like, okay, he fits with what we're looking for right now. Because I feel like he always will hit for average, to your point. It's just, where does the power come into play? Yeah, one of these days it might click. I think it's more just got to play 130 games, see where things go. And who knows if that'll ever happen, especially with ADC hanging around.
Yeah, that's guy.
That's one thing for sure. Kiber Ruiz, lost season for our guy. Catcher two that we both liked a lot this season. ADP of 201, 13th catcher off the board, finished 48th at 247, 2 homers, 0 steals, and 1 hell of a concussion because he'd never rebounded at all from that. He came back for like 2 games, went back on the IL. We never saw him again. Yeah. Played 68 games. While he played, skills looked okay. I'm still intrigued by him, but we don't even know really his situation. Like, he was rehabbing before the season ended, but didn't even make it back.
Right, and that clouds kind of everything for Kiber Ruiz personally. First and foremost, you hope he's all good there. But, like, yeah, you just don't know how that is going to affect things for next year. We were talking before the show, we're in the meatball draft. We're in the 29th, 30th round, and Kiber Ruiz is still out there. I've taken 3 catchers for some reason, and Kiber Ruiz was not one of them. So I guess that speaks to that. But even before concussion aside, even before, there was that famous like stat where Kiber Ruiz hit all of his home runs, all of them in March, and did not hit a single home run after that. It was a total nothing burger of a season for Kiber Ruiz. And I don't think we can write off the concussions as a reason for that. Right. Cause I mean, that happened after Ruiz had pretty much done nothing. So it's for someone who was, in my opinion, one of the more stable catchers from 2022 through 24, now has some major, major question marks.
Agreed. I'm concerned going forward with him. Skills we hope are good, but like to your point, we don't know if he's healthy, unfortunately. Man.
And remember, we brought it up like all the time, the Kiber Ruiz cliff at catcher entering 2025. He was the last one before the cliff. We're going to have a lot of Kiber Ruiz. That did not work. Wrong. Yes. We like to admit when we're wrong on the show.
Wrong. Yes.
Maybe more than we should. I don't know. But we were absolutely wrong on this one. That cliff, especially because the next catcher is Ivan Herrera. That cliff was not a cliff.
Yes. Ivan Herrera had an ADP of 216, 15 picks after Ruiz. 14th catcher off the board, finished 8th at the position with a 284, 19 homers, 8 steals. To be fair, Yvonne wasn't starting the season with the team, or was up and it was in question when most of the drafting was going on. So that was part of it. But he also was injured quite a bit, DH'd a ton, so he will not be catcher eligible in the NFBC this upcoming season. But a heck of a season. Hit the batting average for the 3rd straight year. It was great. The power developed in a big, big way. I've always been a humongous Yvonne Herrera fan. He was in DCs everywhere, so this was great to see. And SAS55 has a question. Do you think Herrera regains catcher eligibility? If you believe everything him and the Cardinals are saying, he's having elbow surgery. On paper, I'd say it takes a month to 2 months. He should have it if you're willing to wait. Depends on how that works out. But eventually, I feel like he'll get – well, it'll only be 10 games in season, so it might be less than a month before Herrera gets catcher eligibility, yes.
Should only need 10 games in a lot of formats. And even in a lot of formats do 10-game eligibility. Ivan Herrera will qualify a catcher in those leagues. Herrera played 14 games at catcher. So your league rules may vary. I would argue Ivan Herrera is good enough to play at utility in some spots. And assuming you waited out a month, 6 weeks, I don't know how early Herrera will get catcher eligibility in 26, but I think it will happen. I think that's a fine move to make because Ivan Herrera kind of under the hood looks to me really good. This is someone you were super high on. I did actually listen to you on this one. You were super high on Herrera entering the season, and he took an even bigger step forward. Career best strikeout rate, career high barrel rate in the same season when you are 25 years old. That's a lot of good things happening as you enter your prime. So I'd like to see some news and kind of some tidbits on from the Cardinals on what they plan to do with Herrera entering next season before like going all in and drafting holes and that sort of thing. But honestly, it doesn't worry me that much. If there's a discount there due to not being catcher eligible to start the season, I'm going to have a lot of Iván Herrera, I think.
Yeah. I feel like if he's healthy within a month, he's got the 10 games. I'd be surprised if he doesn't, but we'll find out. Last one here in the top 15, then we'll go more rapid fire through the rest here. Connor Wong.
Dude,
what a bummer this was. ADP 15th catcher off the board, finished 81st in the position opposite of Will Smith, hit 190 on the year. So there's a kudos hat tip to Will Smith for you. No home runs, 2 stolen bases, injured a ton, and Carlos Narvaez took his job, and Wong never saw it again. It was never mind, I'm not going to make the joke. So what do you have with Connor Wong?
Yeah, kind of shriveled up there at the end, but really, this is like a true Gene Segura moment. Or stat line. Not only was the 190 batting average, no homers in 188 plate appearances, 7 RBI for my guy in 188 PAs. Terrible. Just terrible season.
Well, one thing that made him attractive is like he played second base and stuff the previous year. That didn't happen at all. He was just injured and then gone. So worthless in that regard. All right, 16 through 20, we got Ryan Jeffers, Alejandro Kirk, Tyler Stevenson, Joey Bart, Bo Naylor. Any guys you'd like to highlight here? Jeffers had a pretty good year. Kirk crushed it. Stevenson was hurt, but, yeah, who knows. Thoughts in this range?
A couple just quick thoughts. Bo Naylor, 195 intriguing. Batting average, 14 homers. Like, we didn't know. I mean, this was 2 years ago. Everyone was all over. We both like Bo Naylor a ton, and this was just not a good season for Bo Naylor. Nice to see Alejandro Kirk hit the 282 batting average, but also, you know, pair it with 15 home runs. And I think I had two on the last day of the season. And has he hit two in the playoffs as well?
Kirk, I don't know if he's hit any in the playoffs. I'd have to check.
Maybe I'm a math. Thought he had at least one, but
maybe. Let me check for you.
But no, nice step forward for Alejandro Kirk in terms of the power. That's huge.
He has two. You are correct.
Does have two. Nice. And then, Ryan Jeffers. I don't know. I had a ton of Ryan Jeffers. I feel like he hit more than 9 home runs, but then obviously the numbers don't lie. So I don't know.
Yeah, Kirk was the one that I'm kind of kicking myself over because it's more the power showed up. I always felt like he was a good batting average source, kind of the other Kyber Ruiz in this one. But he stayed healthy and hit for power. So that was a big plus with Kirk. I had a ton of Tyler Stevenson.
Disappointing. Lot. Yep.
Yeah, it was just injuries that just derailed things. He even started hitting better towards the end and in the postseason. He hit really well. So I'll be back in on him if he's healthy just because that situation, middle of the order, like I'm still a fan. Bo Naylor, I wanted to highlight something, though, because I know we talked about him towards the end in Fab shows. This isn't a 2026 preview, but I'm interested is what I'll say.
Bo Naylor?
Yeah, he's 25 years old. Like I said, we talked about him in Fab because he started hitting towards the end. In the first half, over 244 plate appearances, hit 171 with 9 home runs, 27 runs scored, and 20 RBIs. In the second half, in 170 plate appearances, so 74 fewer, he hit 230, 5 home runs, 19 runs, and 27 RBIs. He hit 7 more RBIs, 8 fewer runs, 4 fewer homers, and hit 230. Like, as a catcher, too, I could live with that. We saw improvements in the second half with Bo Naylor. His September and October, the 69 plate appearances, he hit 290 in that final month of the season with 3 of his home runs and 16 RBIs. So he really started to get things clicking towards the end. Maybe it was a one-month hot stretch, but at the same time, he's 25. Like, I'll take some optimism there that a young kid's starting to figure things out, and really curious to see – look into him more in 2027. I'm not writing him off. So I'm saying, like, yes, the year sucked. It was bad. I wasn't in on him this year though, so thank God. But all things considered, as bad as that was, Ryan, still the 30th catcher. That's a catcher two in a 15 team league, folks. That still plays in theory. You probably didn't play him. You mixed a match. Don't get me wrong, but that still plays in one way or another.
Yeah. Funny how you talk about Bo Naylor that much and not Will Smith.
Yeah, because Will Smith did the opposite at the end of the season.
Yeah,
he was not good.
Very good. No, good points all around. I'm actually more interested in Bo Naylor than I thought now.
Yeah, I'm curious at least with the, yep. You know, he'll be so cheap too. He would be a great catcher three in a DC.
Yeah,
so something to think about.
And I've in already, the future. I think he already got taken, but future did. Drafts. Yeah, maybe if I future maybe drafts. If I take three catchers before the 30th round, I should. I just need to reevaluate things.
Reevaluate. All right, catchers 21 through 25 got Danny Jansen, Patrick Bailey, Hunter Goodman, Francisco Alvarez, Sean Murphy. Goodman is the second overall catcher at the position. 278, 31 home runs, also had the outfield eligibility. The rest of the guys were either injured or just stunk. So what do you got for us here?
Yeah, you pretty much didn't have a lot of these other guys. Danny Jansen is someone who I was very – that's an L for me. I was very high on. I thought with the park in Tampa, being the primary catcher there would help him out a lot. Did hit 14 home runs, but 215 batting average, that was brutal. Your guy Patrick Bailey hit – what, a third of his homers in the same game, something like that.
Yeah.
Hunter Goodman's a standout here, especially for kind of how bad the position was really around Hunter Goodman and almost for the rest of the draft. Hunter Goodman. Yeah. I feel like he slowed down in the second half. I'm pulling up his first second half splits. No, not at all. No, second half per HQ, 17 homers and 267 batting average for Hunter Goodman. He did not slow down one iota. Very nice step forward for Hunter Goodman. If it wasn't for Cal Raleigh, this was your obviously most valuable catcher.
Yeah, pretty pumped on Goodman. More mad at myself. I had a ton of early DC shares, and then I kind of let off the gas. I'm like, well, will Goodman even play? Like, listening to noise.
Right. Yep.
God, that made me angry because he was as good as I thought he'd be when he got the playing time in Colorado. I'm going to highlight Francisco Alvarez, a guy that I have thrown shade at time and time again, but I even admitted on one of our later shows and with Ben, I'm interested. He finished 29th at the position and he only played 74 games on the season. He finished with that 256, 11 and 0. And they're fluky injuries, like hit by pitch in his hand. He played through most of it too. But what more importantly to me is he missed a lot of the time early in the season. Once he came back, like August, he had 45 plate appearances, hit 341 with three home runs. September, he hit 68 plate appearances, hit 230 with four home runs. So he had eight of his home runs in the second half of the season, hit 276 in the second half. That's still with a bunch of injuries and being banged up to all fruition. Dude's 23 years old. Like, we talked about some young players. I kept saying time and time again on this show for years, like, hey, I got to kind of see it happen because the hype figure was so huge. I'm Francisco Alvarez. Kind of saw it happening a little bit this season. And I'll give him kudos to play through what he played through and showed some market improvements. So didn't draft him at all last year. Never have drafted Francisco Alvarez. But a pretty good season, all things considered, because it won't show up on this board. But I think a guy that finished very strong and showed a few things.
And wasn't Alvarez's ADP? I mean, it was much earlier than 328 for most of the draft season, right? Like, it was an injury related drop. Great point on the injuries just being like, dude, I don't know who Francisco Alvarez pissed off in a previous life, but
he was rehabbing. He got hit by a pitch like the day before he's going to get recalled. Like, it was just one thing after another, dude. It was like
pretty rough. But I mean, the biggest things that you said that I agree with is, yeah, fluky injuries. Yes, it's catcher, so that stuff does happen, but can't expect that level of injury again. And just the way that Francisco Alvarez did come back and not only came back, but finished very well. It sucks if you drafted Francisco Alvarez. This late surge was probably not on your team. You most likely dropped him in non-IL leagues, but I don't think this down year, quote unquote down year, is going to have much of an effect on Alvarez for me.
Yep, barrel rate was elite. Hard hit rate, best of his career, over almost 55%. Like, dude's he's showing me a lot. 23 years old. Love to see it. 26 through 30, Jonah Heim, Miguel Amaya, Ben Rice, Drake Baldwin, Mitch Garver. This is where things got really interesting because Ben Rice, dude, just a godsend. All things considered, finished sixth in the position. Drake Baldwin finished 10th, so when you look at the back end here, over the last 10 picks, 21 through 30, you had the second, sixth, and 10th overall at the position.
Yeah. No, not too bad at all. Ben Rice, granted, was not catcher eligible for, I don't know when he got catcher eligibility. I want to say halfway through the season, something like that. So there is that caveat. Drake Baldwin, very nice step forward for him. And the playing time was there for Baldwin because Sean Murphy, A, can't stay healthy, but also B, can't hit. We kind of glossed over Sean Murphy with that previous group, but second season in a row hitting under 200 for Sean Murphy. So that goes to show if you've got a nice kind of prospect pedigree ish catcher who may be in a share for playing time. Dylan Dingler is another one who falls into this bucket, and the share of playing time is with someone who's not that good. It's a decent late stab to try and take that catcher. So.
Yep, there are some definite options here if you're willing to take the risk at catcher. If you guys listened to my last two episodes with Ben Tidd, he didn't really have any catchers when he left the draft room, and he had to fab a lot throughout the season on catchers, but it worked out type thing, and it's because of players like Rice, who he did draft, players like Baldwin, some players we're about to talk about that weren't even really their breakouts along the way. Before we get to the breakouts, Ryan, any final thoughts on this board where – just, it's a beautiful position. This gets deeper and deeper each and every season.
I'll wrap it up with a seminal moment in the show. Remember your Miguel Amaya in the Listener League auction when you got outbid from $2 to $3 and you slammed your fist on the table? Miguel Amaya ended up hitting 281, which is nice. Four home runs and no steals. So, granted, missed a ton of time. But
was it a groin or a hand? It was an oblique, I think, actually. Like, he had a nasty soft tissue injury that basically cost him his season.
Yeah, and that's who I drafted for my third catcher in the
29th
round of the meatball. I don't know. We'll see.
It's aggressive, but I like it. well, it's aggressive, like you said, third catcher by round 29, but I do like him as a potential deep catcher in a DC. All right, breakouts, Ryan. You mentioned Drake Baldwin was the 29th catcher. He was awesome, 10th overall, but dude. The cover boy for the episode, the guy that I will say I get a lot of things wrong. I went out on a limb on this one, and I said flat out, like, if this guy plays every day, top 10 catcher, 15, whatever, he finished 11th. I'll take that as a good dude at 231, 21 homers, 16 steals, 72 runs, 67 RBIs in 136 games. That's pacing well, I guess, is what happens. When he DHs 63 games and catches 73, Augustine the Goose Ramirez, absolutely outstanding this season.
Yeah, I remember the Fab preview, the exact show, when we were talking about Ramirez, and you went out and said this is a top 10 catcher rest of season. Even though he's 11th by Fangraphs, he's actually 8th on the Razzball player rater. That's just differences in how those whatever valuation engines, whatever handle stolen bases and batting average. Either way, this was a top 10 catcher. Did it in a partial season. Cover boy on the YouTube thumbnail for a reason. This was the Goose, who I guess was a mispronunciated name because it is Augustine, but sticking with the Goose, sticking with our guns there. So yeah, great season. Absolutely excellent season. I think the third most expensive Fab add behind Nick Kurtz and Jack Caglione. Like Kurtz and unlike Caglione, was well worth it.
Yep, it was well worth it if you made it happen. Another guy that I absolutely loved at DCs, had a ton of DC shares, that is Dirk Dylan Dingler of the Detroit Tigers. And it was more when would Jake Rogers get out of the way of Mr. Dingler? He was essentially undrafted, finished 14th at the position at 278.
Yeah,
with 13 home runs, 54 runs, 57 RBIs, 26 years old. The hit tool always looked good in the minors. It transitioned nicely to the bigs, Ryan.
Yep, and that's something I need to look at, to kind of looking for common themes among these breakouts, is similar to Drake Baldwin. Like I just said, it's if you're sharing time with a really bad catcher and you're a good hitting catcher, especially next season with the strike zone challenge type thing, like –
don't need to be good defensively, folks.
Don't need to be as good defensively. I do think that may impact things for 2026 in terms of teams just kind of giving a little bit in terms of defense and for more offense. But that is more a 26 thing, but that's certainly something I'm tucking away to kind of target those good second catchers where the first one is not.
To your point, the catching position in the prospect world, it's glorious. There's a lot of them. So yeah, it's going to be some waves routinely for the next few years, it feels like, when it comes to the catching position. Carson Kelly finished 17th at the position and feels more of like a first half award that he managed to hold on to in the second half. He was one of the top like five catchers in baseball for a while, and then it kind of petered out.
Yeah. Sometimes just random things happen. Like Carson Kelly was like my favorite catcher like 5 years ago. And I don't know, can't say I was early on this one. I think the statute of limitations is not 5 years for somebody.
Touche. The last one, we previously mentioned Carlos Narvaez of the Boston Red Sox, another youngster, 26 years old, finally got his big break with the club, played 118 games at 241 with 15 homers, 51 runs, 50 stolen bases. Connor Wong got hurt. Narvaez took the job and never gave it back.
Yep. Again, at least to me, totally random. I had never heard of Carlos Narvaez entering the season. I don't think was on your top 50 list for the Black League either.
He was not a big target either. Yeah, I was very much interested in Connor Wong. Let's put it that way. Carlos Narvaez, not on the radar. Dingler has some Moreno, good banners, but think there's more power. Dingler does have more power in him. Like, I believe that as well. Good call, Michael C. Any other thoughts before we hit on some listener questions in the Discord?
Let's listen to some questions.
Let's do it. Let me find them here as we scroll through show questions.
Did I put them in a rogue channel?
No, I got it. Scott B. Berksey says, who is the last guy you would take as a catcher one in a two catcher league?
So not really sure, but let's just play the game of stop me. So just tell me when to stop, when you stop feeling comfortable with these catchers. I'm going to go down the player rater. From 2025, Cal Raleigh, Hunter Goodman, Jay Langeliers, the Contreras brothers. Well, there's only going to be one next year. Ben Rice, Salvador Perez, Yvonne Herrera, if he qualifies, Will Smith, Drake Baldwin, Agustin Ramirez, Alejandro Kirk, Yiner Diaz.
Keep going.
Dylan Dingler.
Keep going.
Austin Wells.
That gets sketchy. Yeah. We're talking catcher one, so probably the Dingler is probably where things end on that list. Okay. Yes,
and that's the number 14 catcher, at least in 2025. Some names after Austin Wells, JTR, Carson Kelly, Carlos Narvaez, Ryan Jeffers. Like, wouldn't really be super.
None of those are catcher ones for me. No.
But below that, there's Gabriel Moreno, Tyler Stevenson, Kyle Teal. We didn't even talk about
Teal's awesome. Yeah, he didn't get enough playing time to probably fit the list here.
That's at least 17 catchers. I think we're both, and I agree with kind of when you stop me.
Yeah, on Fangraphs player rater, Kyle Teal is 23rd. And I think, I think he's going to skyrocket up the board. So that's a good one to mention as well.
So yeah, to answer Scott's question, it's probably a full 15 deep, at least.
At least. It's an awesome position. It really, really is. Mark Sikulski says, lots of talk about Ivan the Great working on being a full-time catcher in 2025. Do you believe it? I do. What about you?
Yes, I do.
How does this impact the value of Pedro Páez as catcher two? Well, as long as the manager stays in place there, they love defense, so that'd be the only concern I have.
Yeah, but Pedro Páez, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, he's not a good hitter, right? No. No. I don't think it really matters in terms of Pedro Páez. I just think the question is, it's not if for Herrera gaining catcher eligibility. It's when and how long you're willing to risk. If it's 3 months, if it's 3 weeks, that's the question.
Agreed. Our buddy B. Welch, not a fan of two catcher leagues. He says, if fantasy baseball didn't exist and someone was creating the game today, what are the odds they decide that having two starting catchers is the best structure for a league? Yeah, it's a great point. According to the Fangraphs auction calculator, if you remove the bump for positional value, only 8 catchers returned a positive value. Even with that bump, there are only 34 catchers who didn't have a negative value. At what point does it make more sense to only start one catcher, or is the risk to counting stats too strong to offset that likely negative impact to batting average? For what it's worth, the list of guys. So what's your thoughts on two catcher leagues, Ryan?
really good question. We'll get to the question in just a second. I actually, maybe I'm just old and rooted in my ways. I think there's more strategy in a two catcher league than there is a one. We just rattled off 15 to 17 catchers that we're comfortable with. So if you're in a one catcher league, it's almost to me like a kicker defense in fantasy football where you just grab, everyone grabs the last one or something. You know, and it's not, maybe not that severe, but the position's so deep that if you only have one, like, I don't know. I think everyone kind of punts it. So I personally like the strategy. I do get and I do understand why people don't. So I'm still pro two-team catcher. Do you have anything on that one? Because I was going to talk about the...
No, we talked about it before the show. We're pretty much on the same page with that, with the depth and everything. It's, if you only had one catcher, it just makes the position worthless.
So the other question that B. Welch brought up is like, yeah, do you just not only just punt the second position, but just like don't start anybody because it is so bad? I wouldn't go to that extent. It does get really bad. Like your catcher's 25th through 30 is really bad. But even if I just look at, so the number 30 on the Raider last year was Bo Naylor, like 47 runs, 46 RBI, 14 home runs. Like if you look at your league standings and take that off of your ledger, I think you're probably losing a lot of points. And like, yes, Bo Naylor only hit 195. So you know, you would move up in batting average without it. But I don't have the math behind this, but it just doesn't seem like that's a strategy over a full season. I think it's absolutely viable if you have an injured catcher and you just want to hold him for a week and take a zero for a week at a time, something like that. I think that's reasonable, but I would not consider it over a full season.
Agreed. Last question we have here is Kevin A in the chat says, what is your confidence level for Francisco Alvarez? I think we're both kind of interested in him for 2026.
Yes, we are both interested in Francisco Alvarez. We kind of talked about him earlier. Confidence, so interested in confidence level, a little bit different, but I just don't think we can ding Francisco Alvarez that much for the injuries. So
that's my thing, is Rick, they're so flukish. Again, catchers can be flukish, but if you're doing that, it seems pretty sweet in that regard. Like Francisco Alvarez went with the 13th pick in round 13 in the meatball draft. That seems pretty appetizing for the potential that he can bring to the table. Like he went after JTR, Austin Wells, Ivan Herrera. Like I like Ivan over him.
But not much of a discount for someone who finished 29th at the position last year.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I think you're hoping for obvious differences there. And plus, Jenny backed them up with Logan Ohapi. So power. Oh, then she's the one with the Bo Naylor shares. Well, Jenny, of course.
Hey, the three guys
that I like. There we go. Hey. There we go.
All right.
I'm interested in Francisco. Really am. I'm optimistic if he's healthy. That's all you can hope for with catchers, and hope they avoid the flukishness as the season goes on.
Did you see Ben's question? I think you skipped over that one.
Yeah, it's not a question. It's him talking with Welch.
Okay, he did ask any takeaways for how we should identify.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see that part. It was a part of the question other part. Mark. At the end. Well, I stopped with he was commenting on the thing.
I got you. I see.
Takeaways for how we should identify these guys? Oh, so a couple of those guys who are decent value didn't even get drafted in some drafting holds. Thinking of Dingler and Avias, maybe more. Any takeaways for how we should identify these guys? Now, Ben, they had conversations. Ben played in 50s, not DCs. So 12 teams versus 15. So Dingler did go kind of unnoticed into 12 team 50s because, like I said, I had him in DCs. But like any takeaways for how we should identify these guys in 2026, Ryan?
I mean, I think just the path to playing time, even if it's not immediate. Again, if Jake Rogers is blocking you, if Sean Murphy is blocking you, are they really blocking you? So I will be looking at those types of teams. And then I haven't even looked for catcher prospects, but you hinted at it could get even better going forward. So I will definitely want to take a look at, especially, like I said, with potential rule changes, or not potential, with rule changes coming and maybe less of an emphasis on defensive catcher. I will be diving deeper than I normally do in the catcher prospect pool, looking at those guys for 26. Just haven't looked at them yet.
All I'll say, because I haven't done a ton of 2026 deep diving yet, but just knowing what's coming down the pipeline is, we'll have you covered at Bubba in the Bloom. Let me just put it that way. Between written content and other things in the next couple months, you'll be just fine when draft season really heats up.
There we go.
It's the best way I can put it.
Secretive. I like it.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Being said, Ryan, final thoughts as we wrap up the catching position. It's a great way to kick off the reviews. It's a great way to kick off previews in a few weeks. But, you know, we got to start with the catching position. Some people think we shouldn't because catchers are boring. I don't think they are. And I think people are starting to grasp the fact that they're actually pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Your enthusiasm is contagious. So I'm just happy to be along for the ride and ride your coattails to this magical position we just covered.
Well, if you guys like that, we got more for you on Thursday. First base, where interesting position as well, because there are some big thumpers, but a lot of what happened, just the way I'm going to say it, at the position. I haven't even really looked at it, just off my head. I know in season, it was not a great position to replace as the season went along. So we'll get to that much, much more. But until next time, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was Bubba in the Bloom, episode 283. Catch you all next time.